want to welcome you to the Awakening Moments podcast today. And Rhonda, I thought it would be fun for us to start with a little icebreaker. Have you ever done those would you rather questions?
Yes, I have, and I'm ready.
Yeah,
Bring it on.
I'm just these are at random. So if they're, you know, don't judge me on the the quality of the questions. But
okay.
Would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future?
Oh, probably 150.
Okay.
You?
Okay. I don't know. I honestly don't really know. 10 minutes into the future would be really interesting.
Yeah, that'd be ongoing, I guess.
Ongoing.
Would it be a one-time thing?
No, I don't think so. I think it's like an ongoing.
Okay.
You can always see ahead.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. Would you rather have the ability to move things with your mind or the ability to read minds?
Ooh, I gotta think about that for a second.
Well, I know my answer to this question.
You'd be reading the mind.
No, I would never want the ability to read someone's mind. I think that would be actually horrible.
You're right, Laura.
I actually think it would be tormenting if you could always read people's minds.
Well, I thought moving things to the mind first. I'm not just changing my answer because of that. So I thought
you did,
Because then you could like...
Yeah, you could do stuff from...
Yeah, you could do a lot of forever.
Give me a drink.
Yeah, clean my house. Move the mop, move the bucket.
Okay, this is one for you.
But no, you're right. Going back to that, that's such... I didn't even think about that.
Reading people's minds.
I didn't even think about
it.
You just said it.
Wouldn't that be a terrible burden? I don't want to know what you're thinking, honestly.
No.
I don't.
No.
I don't want all those thoughts. I don't want to have to process. Do you know what reading people's mind is? Scrolling through social media. It's horrible.
Oh, true.
Do you know,
it's true.
Like this aspect of, right? Like seeing things.
Unfiltered.
I don't even know you. I don't want to know that.
That's a really good point.
Then I
point.
Have to carry that. Like, oh, no, thanks. No, thanks.
Move things with your mind. Clean my house.
Yeah. Amen.
My car. I can move my car to pick me up. I could just.
Yes. You could teleport. Could you just move yourself? Why can't you just move yourself somewhere?
Seriously, we could go to Bora Bora right now.
Oh my goodness. And just for the afternoon and come home.
Yeah.
Oh,
perfect.
So good.
Okay.
I love it.
All right.
Okay. This is one for you. Would you rather team up with Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel?
Oh, Wonder Woman.
Ah!
You?
I'm not into superheroes. I couldn't really pick. I mean, Wonder Woman just like Power of the Women. Like I've got to stick with my girls.
She's amazing.
But I don't really know. Okay. This is funny. Would you rather be forced to sing along or dance to every single song you hear?
Well, probably sing.
Yeah, for
That'd
sure.
be easy.
It would definitely be better. Could you imagine bringing it into dance every time song comes on? That would be so, so hilarious. Oh my gosh, that is really funny. Okay. Would you rather be in jail for 5 years or be in a coma for a decade?
Oh, probably a coma.
Oh, I'd rather be in jail. I think
because then I wouldn't even know. I'd wake up from a sleep. Then again, your body wouldn't work as well if you.
Well, depending. Only, I mean, I don't know. You just get up and you're back.
I wouldn't even know.
10 years.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know. You would just sleep.
No, you wouldn't know, but everybody else would.
Yeah, but that would be kind of.
And life would have happened without you.
Yeah, that'd be quite the adventure. Yeah,
I think I'd rather be in jail.
But okay, yeah.
It'd be a little bit exciting.
I think jail's so scary. I think
do you?
I'd be beat up in jail.
Why? Laura, why would you get beat up?
Do you know how scary jail is?
Well,
I wouldn't want to live in that environment for 5 years. Not even a day.
I mean, it would. I'm not
Whereas
saying
I'm
I think
sleeping,
it would be fun or
but
good.
But if I'm sleeping
but
on a pillow.
No, it's true.
10
it's
years, true. I'd wake up. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably be very upset the way I look in 10 years. Having gone from like a jump of a decade, I'd be like, but I might have missed a lot. Like, I don't know.
That's so funny.
Think about sleep. I'm just thinking it'd be very peaceful and sleeping. Okay.
And I think I know your answer to this one. Would you rather be chronically underdressed or overdressed?
Oh, probably chronically over or under? Probably over.
Yeah.
I would say over.
I think so.
Absolutely. Like if it was like if I had to wear dresses or pajamas, I'd probably... If I had to pick, probably dresses.
Yeah.
You?
And to be out and about like always in track pants every day.
Yeah,
like,
no, that would get
like
to me. You
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, yeah, I yeah. yeah I'd rather same. Be overdressed than underdressed for sure. Yeah. Oh, so funny.
Those are good ones.
So funny. Okay, last one. Kay. Would you rather lose your sight or your memories?
Oh. Okay, that's a really hard one. But I think I'd probably rather lose my memories because... if you lose your sight, there would be so much independence and things I love to look at and make new memories. You can always make new memories.
Okay.
But to lose my independent, like to lose that,
yeah.
yeah. ability. That would be hard not to see the world.
Okay. Okay.
You?
I probably would rather lose my sight than my memories.
Than your memories.
Because I feel like I feel
I have
like
a
you
bad memory anyway. So
she's already lost her memory, so she's good. No, because I also think if you lose your memories, then you lose who you are. Like your memories are part of who you are. They're all the stories that make up who you are. And if you lost that, I think that you are not the person that you are. But I think if you lose your sight, like you can fully figure out how to live completely the same way in the world with all your relationships and all the memories you have and all the, it would be terrible and hard, but I think to lose your memories would be like having Alzheimer's.
Yeah. I break that in Jesus' name. I take that back. I take that back in Jesus' name. There was someone we knew that said
it's
that. We could joke about that though. Yes. There's someone we knew that they would always say if they didn't like something, take that back in Jesus' name.
Yeah, exactly. We take that back.
So I take that back.
That is
I'm gonna
awesome.
Have my sight and my memories. Yeah, there you go. There's no would you rather on that one. No, but it's true. Now that you explain it like that, I take my answer back.
Like, no, you don't have to take your answer back. No, I get you. I get you. You're in the media. You're like, no, I need to see to live my life. I can't live my life without being able to see. So
yeah,
but I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, those are good ones. Those are hard ones. I guess it's supposed to be like that. You're divided.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And they're both bad.
They're both bad.
Would you rather? They're both that hard. Which is your worst? Which is your worst?
But then when you explain it, I take mine back. I'm gonna let you go first next time. Be like, ditto. Yes, I feel the same. So good.
Okay, so I thought it would be fun for us to continue in our series on the Lord's Prayer. We've been talking about, you know, our Father. We started with our Father. We talked about hallowed be your name, praising God, setting our day, setting our prayers from an attitude and a heart posture of praise and how powerful that is. And this week, we would be talking about your kingdom come. And this is an interesting line in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. What do you think it means? What do you think it means? And I know it kind of like, it's not necessarily that you have to define it in one sentence. We can talk about what it means, but like when you pray that, Lord, your kingdom come, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. We say it all the time. We read it throughout the scriptures. What do you think we mean when we say it, when we speak that out, when we're trying to align to your kingdom come? What does that mean in the here and now for us as we walk it out?
That's a really good question because I think it's multifaceted.
It is. It is.
Right? Because you live in the world now, the kingdom to come. But yet there's a spiritual part of that, like the dominion of God that rules and reigns in your life, like the personal part, like God rule and reign, have dominion over me, over my circumstance, rule and reign. Come, like even the end of Revelation says, even so come Lord Jesus. Like there's a longing for the coming of Christ, the second coming, to rule and reign in the fullness of, like right now in the kingdom of this earth, there's not the full reigning and dominion of God for such a time that God's allowed the release of evil,
totally,
the release of what's
the
brokenness. Satan is a prince of this place, and but he doesn't rule and reign everything. God still rules and reigns. Let's be very careful. He never rules and reigns. He's a prince of this earth. That's what he does. This is what he does. Mm-hmm. But God, I think there's multiple, like that future. There's a longing in my heart for that kingdom to fully have dominion in every space and dominion. As well, I want my heart space to have you rule and reign. And as well, that spiritual authority place when we're speaking into a circumstance or speaking into where there is a circumstance, God, would you rule and reign in this? So I think it's multifaceted in all of those areas. One day, all will collide into one. I think that's the thing, but we live, like we said, in the now, but the what is to come and the what has been. We're pulling all, God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever, and we are living in all of that. The promises and the prophetic of the yesterday, what God has said in his word that we're holding on for today, but there's still so much to come, but there will come one day that all of that will be completely together. And so I think it's all of that, Laura.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree. I think part of the reason why Jesus put it in the prayer is as a reminder that we are too long for him to return.
Yes.
We are to long for that time and that space. And because we're living in exactly what you described, you know, the finished work of the cross, but not the fullness of everything that's been promised. We're kind of in this waiting season. We are to long for, look forward to, prepare for. And I think those words, your kingdom come, or a declaration of that time that is to come, a recognition. And then it allows us to be able to put ourselves, our circumstance, like sort of where we're at in the present, in that scope, right? Like, it's not just like my problems and all this that I have going on and all the stresses, and all of that kind of becomes a little bit smaller in light of, if I can anchor to your kingdom come, and I'm going to anchor to that, and I'm going to set myself in readiness for that time while I'm going through all of this. And so I think that's a beautiful part. But I loved how you touched on as well the aspect of, like, your kingdom come in me, in my story right now, in my living out and walking out my faith, in my following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, so what are we, what aspects of that kingdom are we talking about that we're sort of trying to, almost in a sense, pull down from heaven, or walk out or live out your kingdom come in the here and now, on the earth, in my story, in my circumstance, in my relating with people, loving people, living out my calling, living out my purpose? Like, what are some of those things that I think we're kind of calling from heaven, or declaring, or wanting to walk in and live in, that are part of the kingdom that is to come?
I think even as you're saying it, Laura, when you actually think about what are those things, the word is very clear on what those things are. When we study the life of Christ, when we just look at the life of Christ and what he taught, and how many instructions he gave us. We look at the Old Testament. Everything in Scripture interprets Scripture. When you see Jesus, how many times he referred to the Old Testament, because he was a fulfillment. So I think when we're looking at what does that kingdom mean, we have to know our King. Like, what does our King ask? What is he saying how we are to live? And first off, is saying, you need to rule and reign. And I know in my own life, I often am on the seat of my own throne. And that's where it starts. It's a surrender piece. It's like, get off the throne of your own life and recognize, like, God, I submit to your lordship. And what does that mean is, I want to follow what your word, not just hear your word, but be a doer of it as well. That's, I love, like, when we said, like, that's what it meant in Hebrew, and it meant, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. Hear was hear and do, the together. They're not the Shema, separate, yeah. The Shema. So I think for us, it's saying, like, I want to hear and do. That's part of your kingdom come. What are you doing? And the beautiful thing is, we've not been left as orphans. We have the Holy Spirit within us. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the third person of the divine Trinity, lives and dwells within us. So we actually are saying, come, Lord Jesus. We're asking for the lordship of Christ, but the enablement to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that on our own. So we're led by the Spirit of God. We follow the words of the instructions of our King, and we walk in that place. And we, you know, also one little note, though, I just want to make mention of, I just love, we just came through Revelation and Heartstrong, and it's always so moving to me, because in the scriptures we talk a lot that Jesus actually spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, except in Revelation we see glimpses of the magnitude of heaven. We get, like, the curtain is drawn and we get a glimpse into what heaven's happening, what's happening. And I think when we are overwhelmed with the world, or overwhelmed with the kingdom of this earth, okay, we have the kingdom inside. But I just want to remind ourselves, when you have those moments that you just feel even overwhelmed, like as you're even thinking about the kingdom of God, this is happening now. Like, when John wrote this down, this wasn't just when it happened when John wrote the scripture. This is an eternal kingdom. And so we're also saying, bring me into that kingdom, that place of worship and adoration. Remind me that I am not, like, there's a name above all name. There is a triumphant King that is being exalted in the heavens right now. Multitudes upon multitudes. That those scriptures are not just like a pinned moment in time, or that will happen. That eternal praise and adoration piece is non-ending. It hasn't stopped. And so I just think, like, all of those things are working together, the adoration, the worship, the reminder that that kingdom is at work. So we pull down, it's like saying, King, rule and reign, but also pull me up to have a greater viewpoint of what's actually happening in your kingdom, that I live with a different framework of, I serve a King that is highly exalted and triumphant. And I think it's those both ends happening at the same time internally. that we live in that space.
Yes, yes, yes. And I can't help but focus on the very first word of that little sentence, your. Yeah. Like that's God's yeah. claim to that kingdom. He is, it's his kingdom. It's not yeah. ours. And I love how you said about the throne, because I think every day the battle of our flesh, the battle of like our humanness is to want to have lordship. Mm-hmm. Like I know what's best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to just forge ahead. I'm going to like, me. Like, and it really is. We're very, even as Christians and as hard as we try to die to ourselves and die to our flesh, we naturally move back into like what works for me, my comforts, what right, I'm, right. you know, my boundaries, what I'm comfortable in, like the decisions for my life, how things affect me. Like it's very difficult to sort of unweave that, but this prayer is a reminder, like this kingdom that we're being invited into, it belongs to a king. And yet he's giving us an inheritance in that mm-hmm. kingdom. He's making us an heir of that kingdom. He wants to actually give us rights and a rightful place in that kingdom so that that kingdom is our kingdom too, but it mm-hmm. only is our kingdom under the lordship of the king. And that's where we'll find the most fulfillment. That's where we'll find the most peace. That's where we'll find our purpose. That's where we'll find the obedience side of walking out our faith, because your kingdom, we have to start with the fact of who that kingdom belongs to, and that we are invited into that kingdom because of the work of Jesus. And what's so powerful about it is he is establishing our place in that kingdom because of Christ's work. And so that's such a beautiful thing. But I think sometimes, even just in the walking out, in the sanctification of our faith, sometimes we want the benefits of the kingdom. So we'll talk about, oh, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and patience. You know, we want to think on things that are lovely and pure and right and holy and true. You know, we want the life, we want the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. All of these really like desirable things that anybody on earth would want to live out and experience. And these are the fruitfulness, the result of his kingdom.
Yes.
Not our kingdom, his kingdom. And we're brought into that kingdom. We're given a place in that kingdom. But I think often we just want to live those benefits without recognizing how often we're still trying to sit on the throne of our own lives and sort of have control or have a say or, you know, have our rights. Like all of these things are really hard to untangle from us. And I find that, you know, we can walk through a circle, a cycle of laying things down, really surrendering, really like coming to that place of recognizing in repentance, like, wow, like I've really been being independent of God, not reliant on him, not really trusting him, or I've been, you know, I've having a lot of anger, or I've been engaging in so much jealousy in this season, or I've, you know, whatever it is, like so many things that we struggle with, come to a place of repentance, yet only to cycle around again with other struggles. And this is just part of our sanctification. I'm not saying this even as like a place of like that we should be beating ourselves about this. This is but it's the recognition your kingdom come is about recognizing the kingdom belongs to him. There are benefits to that kingdom, but it must come under the lordship of Christ in order for us to walk it out fully. And the reality of this part of the story that I cannot, like we cannot skip over, is also the joy in suffering. It is the joy in, like, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. There is this invitation into Christ's suffering. So not only is it the benefits of the kingdom of things that we just all want, like, you know, obviously everybody wants a nice car, a nice house, a nice, like all these, you know, benefits of the earth, this earthly kingdom we live in. But his kingdom, a part of his kingdom in this part of the story includes allowing a partnership with the suffering of Christ. And the scriptures remind us of that. And the scriptures invite us into that. And there's a beautiful intimacy into that. And honestly, we have to recognize that, yeah, in this life, there's going to be trouble. In this life, there is suffering. We have it, we're walking it. But that's also a beautiful part of his kingdom come on this part of the story where all things are going to be made new, but we're not there yet. And so we have to embrace both sides, I think, of that kingdom as we walk this out.
Laura, that's really profound. Everything that you just shared there, because it really is the laying down for a greater king and the life of worship. I think what we're coming down to is like when we say, what does it mean for your kingdom come? Everywhere that you see where multitudes are involved in the heavens, it's worship.
Yes.
No one is like doing anything but worshiping, yes. Adoration, because it's perfection. The deity is fully exposed, like in its glory and greatness. And I think what you're saying here is on this side, it's saying, help me to worship you here, not just wait till I'm in heaven and be like, ooh, everything's made well. Like, what does that look like here? Whether my hands are empty, whether my hands are full of plenty, whether it's in a valley, whether it's on the mountain, whatever it looks like, may I have a heart of worship. And that's easy to say, your kingdom come, that I exalt and I worship you and I lift you high. Mm-hmm. Those are words that we say very easily, but they're tested. Mm-hmm. Those are the spaces that are tested. And when we go through that, that's that invitation to be like, will you allow me to be Lord of this? Will you trust me enough to worship me? Will you trust me enough to cry, but at the end of the day say, God, blessed be your name. Like that's a hard scripture. You give and you take away. Those are hard things to say, but blessed be your name. Those are hard things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in the Western world, our minds don't understand that. Like most of the world understands that are Christians. Most of the world is persecuted.
Yes.
Many are living with great suffering and hardship and trial.
And they feel like so honored.
So honored
that they could be persecuted for the name of Christ. Like it's.
So are we willing to live a life of worship, not just a life of receiving and getting and filling our storehouses, but to say, you give, you take away, but I worship you.
I worship, yes.
Because I have a glimpse of a greater kingdom.
Yes.
And I, when we read Revelation, that's the hope. It's like, that's happening now. Can we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith?
Yes.
So no matter where you are in that story, maybe just started your faith. And maybe like he's the author of all things. I'm not talking about like he's talking about the whole thing of redemption. But in your own life, are you just starting in your faith? Where are your journey? Or maybe you're finishing your faith. He is the he is the one to be exalted. It's about him. He is. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And so I think all this comes down. Your kingdom come. I love what you said. It's about your Jesus, the revelation of worship, the exalting of his name. And so easy words to say.
Totally, totally.
But this is where it's tested. These are the contested spaces of our worship. Our worship is contested.
Yes.
Isn't it, Laura?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because we never want to just flippantly say those words as a claim to only the good, like only the good things that we believe are part of. And it's even our interpretation of the good things, like our comforts are not considered in your kingdom come. They're not. It's not about our comforts. Like that's not it. And I love to, as we just read in Revelation about the martyrs and about both living and dying for Christ, a willingness to live and die for Christ. And so often it's easy, like, well, easy. It's not easy to say that I would die for Christ, but it's sometimes easier to say, okay, I'd give my life for him, but will you really live for him? Like, will you really live in the here and the now for him in all that that means? And that includes partnering in his suffering. That includes walking out in the fullness of all that he's promised us. Absolutely. But it's the fullness of all of it. It's not just the one side. And so I feel like, you know, even in the conversation, although your kingdom come is a kingdom where all things will be made new, where the fullness of everything that we read in the scriptures will actually be manifested beyond what we could ever comprehend, even on this side of eternity. But at the same time, it is in a glimpse, a part of what we experience in the here and now. It is unfolding even as we live out our lives in the present, both in the suffering and in the joy, all of it together in this mixed bag of remembering that he is on the throne. Christ is the banner over all, that we give him all the glory and we give him all the praise. And we choose to worship in our present as part of the connection of your kingdom coming right now, right in the here and the now and in the future as we await for his return.
So good. So good. Well, I think it's We even say that as it ends, we're even so come, Lord Jesus. Come in all those facets. But right now, whatever you're facing, whatever we're facing, God,
totally. Every part
rule
of your
and
life.
Reign. Every rule. Yep, every space. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Rule and reign.
Amen.
I love it.
Amen.